Good morning and welcome to our service here at First Presbyterian Church. A special welcome to visitors and to those who I know and love, and I'm glad you're here. Please remember to pass the red pew pads among yourselves, sign in so we can check our list like Santa, check it twice. No. There are many announcements, so get out your calendars, get out whatever, and whichever one I forget, I apologize for already. Next Sunday, we will be very busy. We'll start, of course, having worship, and then we're going to have a congregational meeting afterwards to elect officers for starting with terms in 2019. Then the prayer community will meet, why those of you are having fellowship time. And then at 2:00, we will be having a meeting, an event that is sponsored by our finance committee, talking about legal seminar, about wills and so much fun things, and also for funeral preparation. I mean, what a good time. How could you miss this? It'll be a great time. So please attend, really, seriously, it's very important, really a gift that you can give to yourself and your family, and we have a sign-up sheet in Fellowship Hall for this event. Also, we have this week coming up Bible study. We have the idea that this evening at 5:30, our prayer study group will be meeting. Today we are going to meet in the gathering room as we will be doing my favorite stuff. We will be doing the art part of praying, so I'm excited. All right, what am I forgetting? You see in your bulletin many things. One other thing is the hanging of the greens. Advent starts this year, we can be very thankful, not the weekend of Thanksgiving. So, we can all come on December 2nd. There's a sign-up sheet again in Fellowship Hall. Anybody who makes delicious soup, and there are many of you here in the pews, please be willing to do that, and we will give you jobs to make our church look beautiful. We come together because we are the people of God. So let us prepare our hearts and our souls to worship our God. Now, as the people of God, let us stand and call ourselves into worship before God. Unless the Lord builds the house,
those who build it labor in vain.
Unless the Lord guards the city,
the guard keeps watch in vain.
Christ the Lord has led us through.
come before our God with praises, but we also come before our God and each other in confession, knowing that we have sinned in both commission and omission of things we have done. So let us together confess. Eternal God, in every age, you have raised up men and women to live and die in faith. We confess that we are indifferent to your will. You call us to proclaim your name, but we are silent. You call us to do what is just, but we remain idle. You call us to live faithfully, but we are afraid. In your mercy, forgive us. Give us courage to follow in your way, that joined with those from ages past, who have served you with faith, hope, and love, we may inherit the kingdom you promised in Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, sing, O church, in song, for you are the forgiven people of Christ. You are the children that God loves and saves. You are the people the Holy Spirit comes and comforts. Jesus loves you. Jesus forgives you. Amen. God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus, let us also forgive one another and offer signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us together pray that we hear the word that Christ has for each one of us today. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, if we could have the children come forward. And Claire, bring Tess and Katie with you. They didn't know I was going to do that. Today at confirmation class, we talked about the Ten Commandments. We talked about who Jesus is and was. And I'm thinking today, Claire, can you tell me, is there any time that you might get yelled at by mommy or daddy or Graham for doing something, or your sister for doing something bad? She gets in trouble when she takes Katie's stuff. Oh, no. Katie, do you get in trouble at any time? What do you think? Do you take Claire's stuff? Do you take mommy's stuff? A little borrowing, right? We talked about that. And you, how about you, Tess? Any little sassy answer for you today about being good or bad? We're teasing because Tess today decided she was going to be sassy in class. So she's getting a little teasing here for this. So what do you think? Anything you can think of? No, think about it for a little bit. But we talked about the Ten Commandments in confirmation class and how some seem, these are really easy, I could keep this one. And then we get to the ones about, oh, honoring our father and mother maybe, or, oh, there was that one about coveting and putting idols before God. And we decided, you know, really, they're kind of difficult. They're hard. But God gave them to us to help us to understand what we should and shouldn't do. But then we had the good news. Found that God sent Jesus to help us understand and to save us, to know that even when we can't do 10 commandments, or 8, or 6, or 4 even, we are loved and saved by God. Jesus says, I love you, I came to save you, and you are good. Amen. Let us pray. Each one of us, Lord, knows that your commandments can be difficult, and we try to be good. And we know that when we are not, we come before you and you forgive us. So help us to hear your word, to honor it, and to know that the only way we are saved is through Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies.
This morning's Old Testament reading is Psalm 15, and it can be found on page 495 in the Old Testament. Hear the word of God. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do not evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest, and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be removed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Sometimes it seems so far, sometimes
special thanks to the choir. That was beautiful on this anniversary of the ending of World War I. Our choir does us proud. Our second reading today is a misprint. Nothing like starting off in the right direction. It actually should be Hebrews 10, starting verse 1, and then 11 and 25. It is found just the page before, 224, I believe it would be then. This letter to the Hebrews was probably written from Jerusalem and sent to Hebrews living in Rome. People who weren't in their home country but had their traditions, knew what it was like to be Jewish, and now wondering how can this be transformed, be made into this new way, the Christian way. So listen to these words. Since the law is only a shadow of the good things to come and not the true form of these realities, it can never be the same as sacrifices that are continually offered year after year, make perfect those who approach. And every priest stands by each day, day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sin. But when Christ has offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he, Jesus Christ, has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us for saying these same words as the prophet Jeremiah heard, "This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their hearts and I will write it on their minds." He also added, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin." Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from evil and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From Psalm 15, we hear, O Lord, who can come before you? Who can live in your tent? Or from the New Living Translation, who can worship in your sanctuary? Why, those who are blameless and do what is right, who speak the truth, don't gossip, those who do not love evil, those who do nothing against their neighbors, those who honor and fear the Lord, who stand by their promises even when it's difficult and it hurts, people who do not lend money at interest, but who give money to those in need. These are the people who can come before the Lord. Wow, sounds like perfect people to me. Perfect people. Where are these perfect people? Anyone you know? Anyone I know? Let me say that when I look in the mirror, I see far from perfection. Yet that person that I see in the mirror, you sitting in the pews, the people driving by us, and all the people around the globe, these are the people God loves. And God knows all of us are totally incapable of being perfect. Yet we try, and we try, and we try. We try to make our rules and live by them, to be perfect on our own, to not need God or each other, to not need family or community. We strive to be that perfect example of a human. And the letter to the Hebrews informs us of how ridiculous this is, to try and be perfect and save ourselves. All the sacrifices for 1,000 years, all the Hebrew priests who stood before the people day after day, all the good works throughout all the ages can never make us perfect. There is only one who is perfect, our Lord Jesus Christ, and only through Christ do we have the opportunity and, yes, the ability to strive for his perfect love and salvation. Again, that doesn't stop us from trying to perfect ourselves. We want to be perfect. We try to be perfect. Some of us try for our looks. There's skin creams and diets, facelifts and tummy tucks. Some of us, it's our clothes. Fancy designers, perfectly match, accessorized to the nth degree. Some of us, it's sports, practicing and practicing. Some, it's with our education and minds. I'm the best in math or reading, in music, or whatever you think you are close to perfection. We strive for it, my friends. And I have to tell you, I think it's dangerous. Striving to be perfect is dangerous. It's dangerous for our bodies. It's dangerous for our spirits. And it's dangerous for our souls. Now, I don't want you to think that I believe that life is easy and service should be effortless. Our work and our mission should neither be lazy or careless, sloppy or negligent. That would be an insult to the great cloud of witnesses that came before us that have served us with dignity and pride. That would be an insult on this Veterans Day to all who have served our country so very well, not perfectly, but exceptionally, excellently, extraordinarily well. I believe that is what each of us is called to do, to try exceptionally, to try excellently. I read this quote recently, and boy, I wish I could tell you where it's from. But I didn't write it down at the time because I'd remember that. Well, I don't. Perfect. Use a note. But the quote was, "Don't let the perfect stop the good." Don't let the perfect stop the good. It's the genesis for me of this sermon. It's what I thought about for the last 2 weeks. How sometimes we stop doing things because we can't do them perfectly. I can't sing well enough, so I'm not joining the choir. But then I stop the perfect joy of singing. The offering I can give is so small it won't make a difference. So I won't give anything at all. I'll let the big dollar stop the joy of the widow's penny. I only have time for 30 minutes of service this week, so I won't bother of attending. I'll let the long hours stop the meaningful minutes. Searching for the perfect stops the good. Demanding perfect stops the work. It stops the service, it stops the mission, and it's not what Christ is calling us to do. Christ is calling us, calling each one of us to be faithful in our service. Service to our church, service to our community, service to each other in the world. Every day of our lives, every minute of each hour, to each person we meet, Jesus calls us in ministry and mission with him. Not to be perfect, but to be kind and good. Calling us not to be the finest disciples who ever walked the earth, but calling us to the walk. Calling us not to be the greatest community which ever existed, but calling us to be community. Calling us to say, good enough might not be perfect, but it can be good enough. Close enough might not be perfect, but it can be close enough. There is one section of the gospel, though, where Jesus explains perfect to us. It is in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Listen to this passage. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you for your coat, give them your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun shine on the evil and on the good, and sends righteous rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Oh, wait, perfect. Jesus tells the crowd and us to love our family and friends, but also to love our enemies as well, to pray for them, to share with them. And in doing so, we would be perfect like our Heavenly Father is perfect. Perfect is a word we use in 21st century America that is different than the Jews would have heard in first century Palestine or the ancient Hebrews of Psalms 15. Perfect to them would have meant whole. Perfect to them would have meant complete. It would have been the idea of shalom, God for all the world. God sees this world as one. He gives rain to the just and the unjust. He cares for the whole people. Can we be perfect in this sense? Giving honor and respect to all God's children, being good stewards of God's world, being generous with all God has given us. Can we do as the writer of Hebrews asks and provoke, or maybe a better word, prod each other to love and to do good deeds? For that is what we are called to do. We cannot do it, we cannot do it perfectly, but we don't need to. We do not need to be perfect because Jesus has done it perfectly for us. He has shown us what wholeness is. In his life and his death, Jesus displayed this to perfection. In his resurrection and promised return, Jesus has made this world perfect. And he makes it perfect for us in the wholeness of his kingdom to come. So it's hard to be perfect. We can try to be perfect. But in gratitude for all Christ has done for us, if we can't be perfect, let's at least do our best. Amen.
Thank you.
Jennifer's over. We are going to use a portion of the brief statement of faith as our affirmation of faith, and I've asked some of the youth from our confirmation class to come forward and lead us in our reading. Let us affirm what we believe. We trust in God, whom Jesus called Abba, Father. In sovereign love, God created the world good and makes everyone equal in God's image, male and female, of every race and people, to live as one community. But we rebel against God. We hide from our Creator, ignoring God's commandments. We violate the image of God in others and ourselves, accept lies as truth, exploit neighbor and nature, and threaten death to the planet entrusted to our care. We deserve God's condemnation. Yet God acts with justice and mercy to redeem creation. In everlasting love, the God of Abraham and Sarah chose a covenant people to bless all families of the earth. Hearing their cry, God delivered the children of Israel from the house of bondage. Loving us still, God makes us heirs with Christ of the covenant. Like a mother who will not forsake her nursing child, like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal, God is faithful still. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you.
It is good to be back with you and to be in worship as we pray together. Please join me in uniting our hearts and minds as we pray to God. Eternal God, we are reminded that we are not perfect. We are reminded that we do not live in a perfect world, but that we fall short. We fall short as individuals, that we fall short as a people, that we fall short as nations. We are reminded this day, at this hour, that we are not perfect. We are reminded at this day, at this hour, of the cost of our imperfection. That 100 years ago, our ancestors had finished fighting. That they laid down their weapons and began to look for peace. Peace that was supposed to come. But we know in the meantime, Lord, that peace has come only in fits and starts. And that in the 100 years since the end of the Great War, the First World War, your children, we have continued to fight. So we pray on this anniversary, this anniversary Sunday, 100 years later, that you would renew within us the desire for peace, that you would renew within us the vision that seeks peace in our lives, in our nation, in our world. Lord, this morning, as we come together as your people, we remember all those who have served the cause of peace. Those who have served our nation in times of war and times of peace, those who have fought bravely, those who have returned home. We remember families who have kept vigil, who have watched by the window, hoping and praying that a car would not pull into the driveway, that the phone would not ring, that the door would not be knocked on. We remember all those who have served, Lord, and we are profoundly grateful for their service, for the way they have given themselves to the cause of freedom, and in times of peace have given themselves to the cause of seeking and pursuing peace in this world. So as we come together this day, O Lord, as your people, we pray for those who have served, giving thanks, and we pray for peace, that you would give us the ability to seek and to pursue and to find it. We come together this day, O God, as a community, bearing witness to the joy that we have in gathering together. We pray for one another. We pray for concerns, for joys. We pray for those that we know and those whom we do not know. We pray for our community. We pray for our nation. We pray for our world. Lord, on this day, we know that you hear our prayers. We know that you hear them and that you gather us up in your loving arms, for you tell us that where we gather, where just two or three gather in your name, that you are there present. And so, Lord, we know that you are here this day. You are here by the power of your Holy Spirit, inhabiting our prayers and our praises, drawing us closer to you, closer to the perfect love and grace and mercy and joy and peace that you give to your children. So hear us now as we pray. Hear us as we lift our petitions to you. Speak to us once again, O God, and remind us of the work that you have given us to do. Remind us of the work involved in seeking and pursuing peace, that we may together find it. We pray all these things in the strong name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is himself the Prince of Peace, and who has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We now have the opportunity and the privilege to give back to God a portion of what God has given to us in this life as the ushers come forward to collect this morning's tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
together with thanksgiving. As Christ our Lord offered himself in the name of your generous love, O God, we offer these gifts. They reveal the depth and breadth of our commitment to your will. Use them, we ask humbly, that they may be a tangible sign of your purpose and instruments of your will. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Doesn't have to be perfect. Go out into the world and love one another. It doesn't have to be done perfectly. But know that the perfect one, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, loves you perfectly. Amen.